That's a good old song, isn't it? And thank you, choir. Thank you for singing so well. Well, they sounded good, didn't they? Amen. What a blessing. And to be able to sing God's praises in His house today. Take your Bibles with me and find the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. We'll come back to Job eventually. We're going to give him a little rest again today. We've worn him out. We'll come back to Job, Lord willing. I want us to look at John chapter 3 today for a purpose, for a reason. The Lord directed my heart to this passage and our topic today for this simple reason. We're getting ready to get out in the community and get these packets into homes. It's really a big undertaking. It's a wonderful thing that our church is beginning to do. Every home for Christ. And I think it's most important that we understand why we're doing this. I think it's most important that we understand what the real need is and what our purpose and our aim is. Our purpose is not for these people just to come and visit the church or any church for that matter, though that's a good thing. Here's the real aim. Here's the real purpose we have in mind. These people out here that do not know the Lord, they need new life. They need the new birth. They need to be saved. And we're going to see today from the Scripture what it means to have new life in Christ. We hear about born-again Christian, those outside of us who are considered to be, well, they call us fundamentalists. They call us, Bible thumpers. They say we're born-again Christians. But what I'd like to ask is there any other kind of Christian? There's no other kind. And when we use that term, born-again Christian, it's really like a repeat. It's almost like saying wet water or hot fire. If you're born again, you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, you're born again. It's not like you have a born-again Christian, you have some other kind of Christian. You're either born again or you're not. And what I'm saying to you is that people who are not saved in our community and anywhere in this world, what they really need is a new heart and a new life. And that is our purpose, that they can have the same life that we have. Let's take our Bibles and read this passage. I think it's familiar to you. What a marvelous passage it is. Stand with me, please, for the reading. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, that means where it will. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Let's stop right there and bow with me, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can call upon You to bless this service again today. Thank You for the privilege we have to open Your holy Word and to read it together. We pray now, Lord, that You would have our undivided attention as we pay attention to what You're saying about the new birth and how it's so vital that we be born again. And Lord, I pray that that has happened or will happen to everyone in this building, that we can all know down deep in our heart that we've experienced this new birth and we have new life. And then, Lord, we pray beyond this service that as we begin to distribute these gospel packets, that You will bring about the new birth in many, many hearts and homes. That there will be people added to Your family, and people that have everlasting life that didn't have it before. We'll trust You, Lord, to do what only You can do. And thank You for being a part of this great work of getting Your Word out so people can know and understand, and You can do that great work in their heart. Thank You for everyone that has come this way today. Thank You for the day You've given us to live. And Lord, again, thank You for being so close to those who have lost loved ones. Some of them are here with us today. We pray again a great blessing from heaven upon their hearts and in their lives. We just understood a moment ago that Rick Sheets lost a brother. And Father, that's news to me today and perhaps to others. And we pray for Rick as well as all these families who have lost loved ones in recent days. Lord, Your grace is all sufficient, and we'll trust You for their needs. Thank You for our needs today, that You'll meet each one. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know, we have been surrounded by death. And that was another reason. It seemed like the Lord was directing my thoughts to this message on new life in Christ. Because here's what I want you to know as we think about new life in Christ. Here's what the Bible says about this matter. You know, if you're born only once, you die twice. And what I mean by that is the Bible calls those who go to hell, that's described in the Bible as the second death, the lake of fire. So the Bible makes it very clear if we die and we've only experienced a physical birth, there is what the Bible calls a second death, to be separated from God forever and ever. But on the other hand, if a person is born twice, that is, they've been born physically, and they're in this world physically with a body, but they've also been born again spiritually, then you only die once. You die in body, but your spirit and soul lives on forever and ever. So this is so very important, because without the new birth, there's no hope. There is hope, though, that we can get the Word out and see people come to know the life that we have in Jesus Christ. I came across a little article in the paper the other day, and I'd already done a little preparation and direction for this message, and it was almost like God confirming that this is what the message of the hour should be. In Friday's paper, in the Bristol Herald Courier, there was this that really caught my eye. The headline says, "Dead Man Loses Case." Let me read just a little bit. I'll not read the whole article, but up in Ohio, in Findlay, Ohio, it says a man who disappeared decades ago is finding out there's no easy way to come back from the dead. A man named Donald Miller Jr. went to court this week to ask a county judge to reverse a ruling that declared him legally dead after he had vanished from his home 8 years earlier. But the judge turned down his request, citing a 3-year time limit for changing a death ruling. Hancock County Probate Court Judge Alan Davis called it a strange, strange situation. Davis told Miller the 3-year limit was clear. He said, "I don't know where that leaves you, but you're still deceased as far as the law is concerned," the judge said. It goes on to say that his ex-wife had opposed the move, saying that she doesn't have the money to repay the Social Security benefits that were paid out to her and the couple's 2 children after Miller was declared dead. And it goes on to say, part of this article, his parents told him about his so-called death when he came back to the state to live once again. Well, that's strange, isn't it? Here's a man who's alive, but the law says he's dead. Now, here's what I know. There's a lot of people who say they're alive, but the Scripture says they're dead. They're alive physically, but God says they are dead spiritually. And that's what we're talking about. What we need today is not physical life. We're all alive. We can see that. What we need is spiritual life. Amen? And if you're here and you're not spiritually alive, I pray this message will touch your soul. But what I really am aiming at today is that we all will understand the great need in our community for people to have new life in Jesus Christ. This is a must. So let's talk about what the Bible says. Nicodemus here was a man just like so many. In fact, I'd say he was a cut above a lot of people that we might rub shoulders with on any given day. He was a religious man. We know that. He was a leader of the Jews. He was like a lead rabbi of that day. Not only was he a religious man, he was a respected man. People looked up to this man. He was like one of the main leaders of Judaism in that day in Jerusalem. But he was not a regenerated man. He was not a saved man. Or he's a man that had not received the new birth. And he's confused about this. He comes to Jesus by night. Now, there's been a lot written about that. Pages, in fact. Why did he come by night? And I'm not going to take up our time talking about that, because to me, that's not really the main issue here, why he would have come by night. What the main issue is, Nicodemus needed to know he needed to be born again. And so for whatever reason, he comes by night and begins this conversation, and Jesus begins by simply making a statement, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus says, "Well, how's that possible? Can a person go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Obviously, this is something beyond human comprehension. It's something that Nicodemus had not thought about, but something he should have thought about. And now Jesus is forcing him to think about it, and I want us to be forced to think about what is so very important. Now, in this conversation, Nicodemus goes on to say in verse 9, how can these things be? This whole thing of new birth. And Jesus has already told him that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That is, what is born physically is physical. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's obviously talking about a different kind of birth. But then Nicodemus says, how can these things be? To which our Lord says in verse 10, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? In other words, Nicodemus, you ought to know more than this. You are a leader of the Jews. And not only are you a leader, but you study the Scriptures, which strongly implies, that there's something in the Old Testament Scriptures that Nicodemus had, that he should have known that this was an absolute necessity for this to happen. And sure enough, we find this in Ezekiel. Let me share these Scriptures with you. This is what Nicodemus should have known. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Listen to this. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That was a prophecy of what Jesus is talking about now, how that there must be a new birth. It had been predicted long ago. Nicodemus should have known. And do you notice in that Scripture I just read, he speaks of a new heart, he speaks of a new spirit that results in a new kind of life. It is a walk of obedience. It is a walk in God's Word, living by the Word of God, desiring His will and not our own. And this is what we all must have. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. So let me kind of guide you through this. And I'm going to give you a lot of Scripture today, more than what we'll be able to turn to. But if you just jot these verses down, because here's what I'm aiming at today, is I'm aiming that all of us can be clear in our thoughts about the new birth. There should not be foggy, cloudy thinking about what it means to be born again. It's too important. And so we're going to talk about, first of all, the miracle of the new birth. It's a miracle. No two ways about it. Birth is a miracle, wouldn't you say? The birth of a child is a miracle. And so the new birth is a miraculous work of God. It is a work of God in the heart and in the soul that shows up in the way that we live our life. It is a miracle that there is no mistaking that it has taken place in someone's life. So what can we say about this miracle? Well, the new birth is a miracle in the sense that only God can do it. It's impossible without God. Now, I want you to notice this. I want you to understand this. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And he says in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." When he makes that statement, he's not commanding Nicodemus to be born again. He's not asking Nicodemus to do something. He's not giving a command. He is making a statement. To command Nicodemus to be born again would be no different than to command somebody to be born physically. Now let me ask you, did you have anything to do with being born physically? Did you do anything to get here? Well, of course not. Nobody had anything to do with that. You were born because God decided you were going to be born at a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain family. And so none of us have any credit or take any part in accomplishing our birth. And so what he's saying here is, Nicodemus, this is something that must happen, but at the same time he's telling us, it's something only I can do. It must happen, but you can't do it, and no one can do it. Only God can do this, because it is, in fact, a miracle. If you look at the words born again, you will find in the original language, it's only one word. It's a Greek word that can mean again, or it can also mean from above. And that's exactly what this birth is. It is a birth from above. It is a birth that originates with God. It is a birth that comes from His power. It is from His doing. Turn back to chapter 1 of John. Let me show you what I'm talking about. John chapter 1. Look with me, please, at verse 10. This makes it very, very clear. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Do you see that? Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Makes it very clear, doesn't it? A person is not born because he is so determined he's going to be born again. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's not of the will of man. It's not of human desire. It is not anything that anybody can do. It is of God, which makes us totally dependent upon God, which is the whole point. We must be dependent upon God for the new life that we need, that only He can give. So it's impossible, apart from God's working in our life. And by the way, it ought to make us grateful today, if we are born again, to realize it was absolutely nothing we did. It's what He did for us and to us and in us. Can I hear an amen? If you're confused on that point, you've got real problems. If you think somehow that you're a Christian because you were wiser than somebody else, or you were better than somebody else, or somehow you got it and they didn't, then what you're denying, really, in essence, is you're denying the work of God in your life to do something for you you could not do. It's a work of God. And not only is it impossible apart from God, the new birth is instantaneous. It's just like physical birth. How are you born? You're born at a moment, aren't you? Of course. Now, I wasn't there, but they tell me that's the way I was born. Right? That's the way you were born, right? You're not born over a period of time. Sometimes you ask somebody, are you a Christian? And how many times have I gotten an answer like this? Well, preacher, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Now think about that. How were you born? Did you get an arm one day and then a leg a week later and then your eyes, you know, a little bit longer down the you know? Of course not. You were born in total and you were born at a point in time. And that's the same way with the new birth. Now, you may not remember exactly when it was, especially if you were saved at an early age. If you were saved as a child, you may not remember that exact moment in time. But let me tell you, if you are born again, it happened at a moment in time. It did not happen as a process. It is not a developing thing. It is a definite thing, just like physical birth. And then, this is another wonderful truth about the new birth miracle. It is irreversible. It is once you're born, you're born. These people that believe you can lose your salvation, they do not understand the nature of salvation. Listen, when I got saved and you got saved and we were born again, God gave us a life that can never be reversed or taken back. Just like when you were born physically. When you were born physically, you're here. I believe it was Will Rogers, the guy that had all the humor and clever ways of saying things. Somebody asked him one time, said, let me see your proof of birth. And his answer was, well, I'm here, ain't I? That's a pretty good answer. You know, if you're born, you're born. You can't be unborn. And so this spiritual birth is something that God does. And at that moment, we get eternal life. And that's precisely what it is. It's eternal, never-ending life. Life from above. And then I want to say to you, this new birth is irreplaceable. Nothing will take its place. There's no substitute. Nicodemus needed to understand that. Here's a religious man. And boy, he dotted all of his I's and crossed all of his T's. He had to get to that position in his life as a Pharisee and as a council member of the Sanhedrin. But it's not in religion that we're born again. It's not ritual. The reference we just read about being born of water and the Spirit, some people try to read baptism into that, water baptism. Don't read that into that. Because it's not through baptism or anything we might do outwardly. Let me hasten to say, it's not church membership either that makes you born again. Or church attendance. How many times I hear that people say, well, we need to get so-and-so in church and so-and-so in church. And yes, that's good, but what we need is people to come into Christ, not into church. Now, granted, when they come here, they can hear the truth. But just coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. No, of course not. There's nothing to take the place. There is no substitute for the new birth. And then I want to say the new birth is impressive. Boy, is it ever impressive. Only God can give new life. And I think sometimes we just take for granted that people are born again and we forget exactly what happens at that moment in time when people come to have brand new life that is never ending. It is something that only God can do. Later in this book of John in chapter 11, Lazarus was dead. They put him in the tomb, in the grave. He laid there for 4 days. Some people were by that tomb when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. You know, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? When somebody comes from death to life, in a physical sense, like Lazarus, wouldn't you have been impressed if you'd been there? Well, may I say to you, it is no less impressive. In fact, it's even more impressive that God can bring us out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And this is precisely what the Bible says of all Christians. Maybe it's been a while since you've read it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says of you and me. And you, meaning a Christian, hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Talking there about your bodily faculties, your bodily parts, your body. Don't give yourself over to working sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is the call that even Christians need to remember. We're not just nice people. We're new creatures. We have new life. And we ought to be impressed, not with ourselves, but impressed with the power of God in our lives. He hasn't just made us better. He's made us new. If you're saved. The miracle of the new birth. Now let's consider a second thing, the mystery of the new birth. The mystery. Nicodemus doesn't understand it. And we don't fully understand. He says, can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And of course, that's not what it is at all. It's a spiritual birth. He says in verse 6 of John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it's a birth of the Spirit. And I must confess to you, there is an area of mystery here to which I'm not privileged to go, and I don't think any of us are privileged to go, but I do want to share with you what we do know. Here's what we do know. We can take this much mystery out of it. The new birth involves two things. You want to know what they are? Let me tell you what they are. The Word of God must be involved. I'm going to give you some Scripture to back that up. The Word of God must be involved. For the Bible sheds some light on this. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Here's what the Bible says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Remember the new birth? It's from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, of His own will, speaking of God, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Makes it very clear, doesn't it? It's of God's will, and He gave us birth, He begat us, how? With the Word of truth. I gave you the packet, or you received the packet last week, the packets that are going out in the neighborhood. And maybe you were thinking, boy, there's an awful lot of Scripture in here. And I hope that that's what you thought, because intentionally, there is a lot of Scripture in that packet. Because, friends, that is what is going to make the difference. The Word of God is going to make the difference to cause these people who need new life to have a new birth. There is no new birth apart from the truth of the Word of God. The new birth is not just positive thinking. And frankly, this is what troubles me about the church trend we see in our generation. We see it everywhere. And that is, churches are cropped up, and it seems to be the trend is give people something that will help them, make them feel good, encourage them. Well, friend, that may be all right as far as it goes, but we don't just need to feel good. We need to be made new. And we need the truth of the Word of God. Let me give you another verse. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Very clear. But not only is it the Word of God that we need, but the Spirit of God. The Word of God must be involved, and the Spirit of God must be involved. Let me give you this verse. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And here's how it happened. By the washing of regeneration. That word regeneration is a fancy word that means new birth. That's what it means. New life. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we know those two elements must come into play. The Word of God and the Spirit of God in the heart and soul of the human being. Beyond that, we don't know exactly how God does it, but He uses those two things. His Holy Spirit and His precious Word. Now, if you were to ask me, preacher, you preach on repentance, you must repent. And you preach on believe, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're right, we do preach those things. If you were to ask me, what comes first, repentance and faith or being born again? And my answer would be to you, yes. In other words, there's no first. There's no order. It's not like you have this step and that step and the other step. It all happens at one time. Let me illustrate. There at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said, we have the record in John chapter 11, Jesus spoke out, and Lazarus now has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. That's a little bit hard for a dead person to do, wouldn't you say? And yet He came forth. What you have is you have the enabling power of God. Through His Word, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in that moment, and Lazarus came forth. The same thing happens in the human heart. We hear the Word of God, or we read the Word of God, there's the truth, and then somehow the Holy Spirit impacts that Word to where we understand that the Lord is speaking to us. Just like Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. When you got saved, God got your attention. He spoke to your heart, didn't He? He has a way of speaking to you personally. And that's what it means to be saved. You hear His call. And His call His Word and His Spirit and His call to you is that enabling power to respond. And how all that works, I don't know, but I know that it works. God's at work. And it's a mystery, but praise God for it. Here's what it says in 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. It's receiving Christ. Paul made it clear in his testimony, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. What a marvelous verse. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says, it's not really me that's living the Christian life. It's Christ in me living the Christian life. You see, that's what it is to have new life in Christ. It's Christ living His life in and through you. You receive Christ by faith, and in comes Christ, and in comes this eternal life that's now lived out through you and through me. Which brings us to the third thing. Not only the miracle of the new birth, and not only the mystery of how it takes place, but here's an important thing to consider. It's the last thing we'll talk about. The marks of the new birth. How do you know if you're born again? There will be marks in a person's life. Now, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, He used the analogy of the wind. Look at it again, verse 8 of chapter 3. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That is, it blows wherever it wants to. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear the wind howling, sure. But canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, you can't see the wind, but you can hear the wind, can't you? And you can see the evidence of the wind. You can see that there is the results of the wind. Especially in the season we're in, the leaves are falling. And you can see which way the wind is blowing, by which way the leaves are falling and blowing off the tree. You can see the branches swaying if it's more of a high wind and so forth. And so it is, just like the wind, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind, the consequence of the wind. So it is with the new birth. You can't see the new birth. You can't see the Spirit at work, but you can see the effects of the new birth. You can see the results of the new birth. There are the birth marks of a believer who has been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is kind of like a summary verse. It talks about the difference in a person's life. What a verse it is. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation is what that means. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a verse. Now, what's included in all things? Well, we could talk a long time about that. Let me mention four things at least that includes. Four things. Because if you're a new creature in Christ, all things have become new. First of all, there is a new heart of love. You have a new heart to love. To love God and to love others. To love the things of God. It's like this. Before you're born again and you're lost and you're not a Christian, you don't love the things of God. Why don't people come to church that are lost? I'll tell you why. Because they don't love church. And they don't love God. And they don't love His Word. Now, they may pay lip service to it and say, oh, that book, that's a sacred book. But they don't study it. They don't read it. They don't love it. They don't love the church. They don't love God. But when you're born again, you have a love for God. And you have a love for the things of God. And you have a love for the people of God. Let me share these verses for you, or with you. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's black and white, folks. If you love the world, then that means you don't love God, because those two things cannot exist in the same heart. So when you are born again, you no longer love the things you used to love, but you begin to love the things you didn't love. It's like that. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We wonder why people don't want to come to church. Well, they don't love the brethren. We love the brethren. I like to be around you. I love you. You love me. We love one another. And so we love God. We love one another. We do things for one another. We pray for one another. But people that don't know God and don't love God, they don't love us. And they want to stay away. It's understandable. 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. When you and I were saved, God did something in our heart, and He filled it with love for Him and for one another. I like what it says over in Romans. It says that He has poured out His love, shed His love abroad in our hearts. That is, He splashed our hearts with His love. Immersed our hearts with His love. So that we have the capacity to love. And we have a desire to love Him and others. Something else I want to mention. Not only do we have a new heart to love, we have a new mind to understand. God gives us the ability to comprehend. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:16, For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What that means is, those verses talking about, we don't know everything Christ knows, but He has given us insight. And part of being a new creature is you begin to understand some things. You begin to have some discernment. You begin to have some wisdom. This becomes an open book. It becomes a book that means something to you. You can make sense of this book because now you have the spiritual capacity as a new creature to understand it. Otherwise, it's a closed book. It doesn't make sense. You read it, but it's like reading somebody else's mail. It doesn't make sense to you. And so it is that we now have the capacity to understand and fathom. Doesn't mean we don't need to study, obviously, but we can comprehend because He's wired us that way. He's given us a new ability. And then there's a new desire to obey. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. What a simple statement that is. And yet it's so important, isn't it? 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. That is, His commandments are not burdensome. That is, what He tells us to do, we desire to do. We came to church this morning, hopefully. We came to church this morning not because we had to, but because we got to. We wanted to. The same is true of everything else we do. We open our Bibles in the morning. We have devotional time. Not because we're a slave and He's a slave driver. No, it's because we want to. His commandments are not burdensome. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is, we come to Christ and we find this is what we've been looking for. This is what we've been longing for. This is the only life to live. I'm not saying it's not hard sometimes to live the Christian life, but our deep down desire is to please Him, to honor Him, to obey Him. And then let me sum it up simply by saying there's a new way to live. And this new way to live, and I'm going to step down here and get some water before I run out of gas with my voice. There's new life and there's a new drink. What I mean by new way to live is living a life of godliness. Living a righteous life. Not living a perfect life, but living with different values. What is it that motivates a person to live a moral life, an upstanding life, a life that's clean and pure and a godly life? It's simply that we've been born again. And we have a desire. You see, we're a sheep. And so we don't do what the Bible says, as a dog returns to its vomit, and a hog to its wallowing in the mire, so these false teachers have gone back. Listen, that's the nature of a dog. That's the nature of a hog. But we're not a dog. We're not a hog. We're a sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. New nature, new direction. 1 John 2:29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, don't misunderstand that. Doesn't mean that you'll never commit any sin. It's talking about the habit or the practice of your life. If you're born of God, you don't dwell in sin. You don't live in sin. You may commit sin, but you don't make it a way of life because you're new. You're different. So is there a desire for holiness? You know, the song that the choir sings sometimes, walking the holy highway. That's God's people. People that are born again. That's the way we want to travel. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Here's the bottom line to all this. People live like they live because they are who they are. And if we're going to get people to live differently, there must be a change on the inside. It's called the new birth. We realize people have so many problems and their lives are falling apart. It's a problem on the inside. If they had new life in Christ, it doesn't mean their life would be perfect. They'd be different. It'd be better. It'd be the life that God wants them to have. And it would be an eternal life, never, ever to be taken away. You see, Christians are not just nice people. We're new creatures. And what we need to do, and what I'll challenge you to do, is pray for these people. Pray for these people we're going to take the packets to. You see, it's a desperate situation. They're dead. Spiritually dead. Do you believe that? Say amen. Think of these verses that I've shared with you. There's no hope for any of these lost people, just like there was no hope for us, apart from God working in their heart. And we're doing what we can to put the truth in front of them. And we're calling upon the Spirit of God to work in that and with that, to bring about the change. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we look to You to do what no human being can do. We trust, Lord, in Your almighty power to bring about the new birth in hearts and lives. We look forward to seeing what You're going to do, Lord, recognizing that this will be a miracle. Every person that's saved will be an act of Your marvelous grace and Your power. Lord, we just call upon You to bless the things that we'll do. It'll all be for You. It'll be for the good of those that we go to. So Lord, use us, bless us, bless the tracts, bless the packets, bless Your Word, and bless the hearts of the people who receive. And then Lord, we pray for all of us here today. We pray for hearts, that You will change hearts and give life where it's needed. Speak, Lord, to each one individually, and let us listen, and let us heed Your call to repent and trust Christ. Lord, only You can bring the new life we need. And Lord, let us be honest as we examine our lives to see, are these marks truly in our life that we've been born again? Is there that new desire to serve You and to love You, and to love Your church, and to love what You love, and to hate what You hate, and to walk the narrow way with You? Is there that heart change? Has it happened to us? And if not, Lord, we ask You to do that in our hearts right now. Please make us new creatures in Christ. For we pray in His name. Amen.